I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Looks like there's someone at the back door trying to get in. The door's locked. Maybe someone could help them there. This morning I will be following up on last week's message. If, in case you weren't here last week, we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ's words in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where he told the people who had gathered together, he said to them in verses 13 through 16, he said, "Ye are the sight of the world, the salt of the world. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." And then in verse 14 he said this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And an important follow-up with that, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now our text that I asked you to turn to this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles or letters of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you?" And the answer is no. And here's why. "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Let's pray together. Lord, would you please open our eyes to see what it is that you expect of us, and how we who believe in Jesus Christ ought to be lights in a world of darkness and salt of the earth. And Lord, we pray that you would stir us to realize exactly why we're here. And Lord, I pray that there, for anyone who is here today that is asking the basic questions that man has always asked. Who am I? Why am I here? What is life all about? What happens after life? Lord, we thank you that your word clearly answers all the questions that have plagued the hearts of men through all the ages. Lord, we thank you that your words are true and they have been to the satisfaction of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. And I would ask you this morning, if there's anyone who has not believed in Jesus Christ yet here this morning, that you would show them that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and the light of the world. Lord, would you help us to see? We all need to grow more. So we ask that you would help us in this corporate worship to listen carefully to your word and to realize what you would desire of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, salt of the earth and light of the world, and now in our text this morning, epistles of God. Isn't that an amazing expression? We are the epistles of Jesus Christ. And I like what he says, that we are to be known and read of men. You know, so many people will never open a Bible. There's so many people in the world that they think the Bible is an old archaic book. They've already rejected it. They don't even want to think about it. They don't even know what it is. They're still in darkness. They're still in blindness. But yet, here we're told in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul is expressing to them that the believers in Jesus Christ are epistles for him. In other words, you might even say they are billboards for Jesus Christ. Christians, we are to be these bright light lit up billboards that show the world a better way. We're told that we're to let our light shine. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." And so we are to be showing forth through our changed life what it is to be a real child of God. Remember how Paul put it in this same epistle, 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5 and verse 17. He said that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All the old things are passed away and everything has become new. Isn't that the way it is for a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you remember what it was for you when you first got saved and everything was brand new? How exciting that was and how thrilling that was to have this newness of life, the life of God breathed into us. And we found that we were looking at everything differently. There was this miraculous working of the Spirit of God that changed us and is continuing to change us. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, this epistle that we're talking about, it was not written with ink. Like my notes up here, it wasn't written with ink or a letter that you would write to a friend. No, it was written with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone or on a ream of paper, but it was with in the fleshly tables of the heart. In other words, this writing, this salvation came to us inwardly. And we were changed inwardly and out. So many people are trying to change outwardly first and hoping to reach some sort of a change inwardly. But you know, with Almighty God, it's a change that starts inwardly when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we confess our sin, when we see him as the Savior who died on the cross for our sins, and we repent of our sins and we turn to him and we believe in him and we become these new creatures. And now we're seeing in this text that we are actually seen as by God his living epistles. You're the only Bible some people will ever see. Think about that. Your changed life. I was reminded, and I was telling William, because I know William and I both have a great love for John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And I know others of you do too as well. And I was reminded of that place where, I'm just looking through my notes for my thoughts about this. You remember in the Pilgrim's Progress when Christian and Faithful entered into Vanity Fair. Now both Christian and Faithful they left the city of destruction. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, you ought to. It's a wonderful, wonderful book written by the Baptist pastor, John Bunyan. But they left the city of destruction and they traveled together and they came to this place called Vanity Fair. It was erected by Beelzebub, Apollyon, and Legion. Bunyan was a great master at allegory, and he was writing about this story about the Christian life. And when they came into this Vanity Fair, their appearance and their speech and their fitting clothes, the proper dress and looking nice, it caused a lot of commotion there at Vanity Fair. Because at Vanity Fair, it's kind of like the world today, anything goes, any clothing goes, and any speech goes, and anyway, they come, and but they were, the people noticed this Christian and faithful as they walked into Vanity Fair, and they noticed that they were different. You might say they walked into Vanity Fair as billboards for Jesus Christ. They were different. And they were mocked by the people. The people didn't like it. They didn't like it. Perhaps they felt inferior, or they felt like there were shadows being cast upon them. And they mocked them, and they smeared dirt on them. And they, remember, they threw them into a cage. They were condemned for belittling Vanity Fair's religion. It's great. It's a great illustration that Bunyan illustrates there of the new life of a believer. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of men, declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and letting your light so shine among men because you're a Christian. You see, the point is clear that we are not to conceal the light that we have been given. We sing the song, Send the Light, the Blessed Gospel Light, Let It Shine from Shore to Shore. We are the light of the world. We who trust in Jesus Christ, we are the salt of the earth. We are to be different. We are to be illuminators. We are to be billboards. We are to be living epistles. These things that the Word of God teaches us that we are to shine. These parables, these stories that the Lord Jesus Christ taught, although the Sermon on the Mount was not a parable, but there were many parabolic things that he said in the Sermon on the Mount, and they were like missiles launched into the kingdom of darkness to the hearts of men that they might believe in Jesus Christ. And all the parables, you know, they're earthly stories with these heavenly meanings that make us understand what it is that God wants us to know. They reflect the principles of the gospel and of the Christian life and of the kingdom of God. They serve as mirrors for us in our lives. And so the Lord Jesus Christ causes us to, as we hear his words, to answer some questions regarding our own spiritual status. This is very important for each of us to consider. Where do I stand? Where do you stand with the gospel and the kingdom of God? Maybe you were influenced by somebody who knew Christ. Maybe someone came along and spoke to you when you were needy. And it's something how God sends you to the right place at the right time and sends the right people to you to speak a word fitly spoken unto you that may minister to you. And I'm sure that that has happened with many of us where we heard the gospel from maybe a relative who got saved, or maybe a friend or a coworker or something. And maybe you noticed that there was something different about them. And they carried themselves differently, and they didn't speak like the rest of the world, and they were just different, and you couldn't quite put your finger on it, but then when they started talking to you, they let you know that what made the difference to them was that Jesus Christ meant something to them. And what Jesus Christ did for them personally on the cross of Calvary is it changed your life when you believed in him. Is that your testimony? And if it is, you know, maybe someone came to you and you're to thank God for that person. And now you are to be that person who is to go and tell others and let your light so shine among men and talk to them about Christ. But it causes us to think about ourselves, I believe. They were the words of Jesus Christ have brought so many of us to a point of decision. He challenged people to think. He said, everyone that has ears, let them hear. Jesus is among his disciples. He's kind of like a veiled king to them, but just as a lamp brought light into the house and placed in a high place, it gives light, so will he bring light to you when you see who he really is. And so here we are, we're told that we are to be lights and we are to be these living epistles seen and read of men. Jesus spoke of himself as being the light of the world. In the Gospel of John, where in chapter 3, where he's having this discourse with Nicodemus, he says this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, that is people, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Think about that. We're not condemned when we believe in Jesus Christ. But he goes on and he says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, our condemnation starts the moment we're born, because we're born in sin. And just like our oldest ancestors, we fall and we sin and we do wrong. But he says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about coming to the light and believing in Jesus Christ as the light. And he promised in this Gospel of John, chapter 8, that all who come and believe in him shall have the light of life. The light of life. Later on, he said, and you shall not abide in darkness. So Jesus Christ is the light of the light, a light of the world. He gives us his light. We become children of light. We become the epistles of Christ. We are examples to a lost and dying world in a dark place. And, you know, we are these ones that will tell others of the gospel that saves and the Savior that saves to the uttermost. When the Apostle Paul stood before King Agrippa, it was in Acts chapter 26, and he was telling King Agrippa about his conversion and his commission that was given by Jesus Christ. He said this, in this expression to King Agrippa, and he said that he saw this great light and he was smitten by God on the Damascus Road. And from the light he heard the words, he said this to the Lord Jesus: who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of these things that thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, whom I now send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that believe." Here, Paul was just so stricken by what God had done for him, what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him on that Damascus road, that he actually gave that testimony time and time again. It's kind of like how you personally came to know the Lord. Do you remember that? Maybe it was your mom and dad that led you to the Lord right by your bedside as an inquisitive lad or little girl. Or maybe it was in a church service like this where you heard that Jesus will save you and forgive you of your sins and give you an inheritance in heaven, and he will cleanse you from all of your sin. And he will take you and open your eyes and turn you from darkness to light. And so we who believe in Jesus Christ, we become these lights because we are following Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And we become these living epistles read and seen of men. Just an amazing dynamic that God does in the lives of his people. So we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We are to be speaking words that are fitly spoken. That's how the Proverbs put it. He said, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver." We have this, our lips are supposed to be fruitful lips. In other words, our lips are always speaking the wonderful grace of God and the things that God has done for us. Proverbs talks about the fruit of the righteous being the tree of life. And those that win souls are wise. How do we win souls if we don't talk to them? How do we win souls if we don't show them the light of God? How do we win souls if we don't see ourselves as living epistles, the lights in a world of darkness? I mean, think about it. We're supposed to let our speech be always seasoned with grace and salt. We're not supposed to be letting any corrupt communications proceed out of our mouths. That is, that our speech might minister grace unto the hearers. A lot of corrupt speech, a lot of corrupt communications going on. If we're going to be billboards for Christ, we're not going to be speaking like that anymore. And you know, there was a time when we spoke like that, let's face it. But we shouldn't speak like that anymore if we're going to be examples for Jesus Christ. And so, just by way of application of our text, we learn that we ought not to receive knowledge in our heads and not give it out to others. We are to be knowledge dispensers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Light, according to Jesus, was to be spread, diffused, and shared. And every gift from God is given for use, not for our enjoyment, but for his service. If God has gifted you, he's done that so you will serve him. God never blesses a man for his own sake. He blesses that we may be a blessing to others. Think about that. We're living outside of ourselves. God never saves a man for his own sake. He saves him that he might become a witness, that we might be a billboard for Christ, that we might be a living epistle for Jesus Christ. He never enriches a man for his own sake. He enriches him that he may turn and may become a source of enrichment to others. We're glad to give. And why are we glad to give? Because God has given us so much. Wow. You see, it's a completely different way of thinking. And that's the way we are instructed in the Word of God to think. It's very antithetical to the way the world is and the worldling is. It's no wonder our lives will look different to others. We're not driven by the crazy ambitions of the world. We're driven by a higher calling, a higher Christ in our lives. He means all to us, changes us. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "And now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for the food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase in your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." What I'm doing right here is I am ministering seed to sowers. Some people think the minister ought to do all the sowing and do all the witnessing. Listen, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are all living epistles. And we are all ambassadors. And we are all to be witnesses. And we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't go where you go in the course of a day. You can't go where I go. We all go from here. We're getting the word of God ministered to us. Why? That we might be able to tell others about it. We are ministering seed to the sowers. That's what's going on right now. You attend these public meetings of preaching and worship of Almighty God only to learn who he is and what he expects of us and what we're here for. And preaching is the instrument that God has given for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. And so here we are, living epistles for Jesus Christ. This is a dynamic done by God. God has done it. The Spirit of God has changed us. And I want to remind you this morning, as I did last week, that we are here to let our light so shine that we may glorify God. After all, that is the very purpose of our existence. Why are we here? To bring glory to God and to magnify his name. And so, child of God, the point is clear. If we are not to conceal the gospel, we are to be reflectors of the light. And may Jesus Christ be honored in all of that. And the Lord's word serves as a mandate for us, a command for us, just as it has been for every generation. There's always been a group of people like us. You're not alone. We're in this holy company of people who God saved by grace and made us, took us from darkness, changed us, made us children of light for a reason. Not that we just sit around and get proud about it, but that we humbly tell others of the message. Go forth, and let your light so shine among men. Why? That they may glorify God and come to him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding us, especially in these words of the Apostle Paul, about us being epistles of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who came into this world to seek and to save sinful people. And how we thank you that we have found that to be true. And all of us who have found that to be true, we would say amen. And Lord, we do pray that we would be able to reach out and show this light in evangelizing others. And as we get edified ourselves, we know it's not just for our heads, for our head knowledge, but that we might be living, walking examples of the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, not for his sins, but for our sins. Lord, I pray that you would stir and challenge us to think of what Jesus has done for us, and now that we are called by him to be living epistles, seen and read of men. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.